All right, this lecture that we're going to talk about today is probably the most influential on me. I can remember sitting in this auditorium one time where David Pallison, now he's deceased, but he was associated with the Christian Counseling Education Foundation. So he and Paul Tripp would give lectures talking about the hearts. And when I began to understand that, began to kind of revolutionize my understanding of Christianity. Not about the gospel per se, but about what was the root problem? Boiling it down to what is the essence of my struggle with sin? And if you get this, you'll be able to process the problems that come into your own life, but also everyone who comes into your office or into your life, and you'll have a framework through which to think about what is potentially going on. Sometimes we can think of counseling as we've got all these different issues like anxiety, depression, guilt, shame, and I have to have a couple of verses for every one of them. And I'm going to show you tonight from the Word of God that it boils down to one central issue, and that makes things a whole lot simpler to see that there is a root common issue that plagues all of us, and there's a root solution that is our hope. So let me start, though, with a very, you might think it's a silly example. It probably is an example, but it shows you my depravity. And it, by the end, I will also extrapolate it to show you that it applies in all kinds of other ways. So just bear with me for just a moment. In 2000, and I believe it was 13, I finally got my PhD. It was not in aerospace engineering, by the way. I went on to get it in the Old Testament. There is a whole other story behind that, which I will not tell you right now. But my PhD was a very long process, 9 years in the making. Apparently, I'm a slow learner, but I was working on staff here and trying to get my PhD at the same time. The ultimate goal was in order to start the seminary that we have now. So if you're going to teach at the graduate level, I have to have a terminal degree. That's not a degree that kills you, but it almost does. Meaning that a terminal degree as far as you can go in that particular field. So I'm the Old Testament prof here at our seminary. At the end of the process of getting your PhD, you have to write a dissertation. And a dissertation is where they tell you to write on something that nobody's ever written on before, right? And then Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun, so they give you an impossible task. And so it was during one of those times where I felt like my professors were ogres and God was punishing me and my PhD dissertation was not going like I thought it was should be going, that I came home in a grumpy mood, also known as sinfully angry. And so I came home and my Proverbs 31 wife, as she normally does, makes a great meal. You know, some of you will get to know her a little bit. She does a little bit of speaking in Track 4. She's head of the ladies' ministry here, but she is a dear woman. And she made me a great meal that night. And I came home in my sinfully angry mood, and I did not see any of the great things that she had made. None of the beautiful entree, none of the beautiful vegetables or the bread that she had made. What I zero in on is the one thing that she did not have. And you know, this is the heavenly divine food. It is bacon bits for your salad. She did not have bacon bits for... I love bacon. Who doesn't love bacon, right? Okay. So I asked my wife, where's the bacon? She says something that I don't want to hear. What does she say? We're out. There is no bacon. What are you talking about? There's no bacon. You know, honey, I love bacon. I was not being very kind to my wife at that moment, and my children were there seeing all my daddy's sinfully unkind example. My wife was certainly not showing the value and appreciation of bacon as I would have. So, if it was me, I would dress my kids in bacon, so there we go. Those are not my kids, by the way. Instead of here at Christmas time, we have living nativity. I have proposed a bacon nativity, but that hasn't gone very far. How about this? I love this one. Piglet says, how do you spell love? Pooh says, you don't spell it, you feel it. That's crossed out and bacon is written there. Tigger on the next day says, say, I haven't seen Piglet lately. Will he be joining us for breakfast? Bacon is powerful enough to rewrite the classics, so I know that is that's like just gross. I mean, so, but it's funny. Why does bacon become so important to us? Why? Because it's good. That was a rhetorical question. I wasn't really asking. This is another one. Why do we do what we do? That's the question that we are asking, okay? So if I can begin to figure out why does bacon become so important to me that I'm willing to be unkind to my wife, why do I sin so often? Why do you do what you do at each moment of your life? Life consists of little moments where you are put in circumstances and you always respond. You're in a circumstance right now, and this is a moment. In the moment, you will either be a follower of Jesus or you'll be a follower of something else, yourself. And in moments like these, you'll be furthering the kingdom of God or furthering the kingdom of self. If you will, please, turn to James chapter 4. So James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, is what we're going to look at this afternoon. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. James gives us the answer to the question of why do we do what we do? Why do we have conflicts at home? Why are your children not self-parenting? Why is there divorce? Some of you got that, so. I recognize the general answer could be sin. We are all sinners. But I do want to get a little bit more specific than that. What is the root of our issue? Why do we sin so often, and what causes that? I do believe if you get this, you will be a more intentional thinking Christian. I did not understand this concept until I was probably, as I said, came to a conference like this and heard David Pallison and Paul Tripp, and then I began to understand what was the root of all that I was doing. I mean, I could have been considered a good Christian. You know, I told you my story. I had to be righteous. I had to be moral in a lot of ways. You don't get to be number one in engineering by going out and drinking all the time. So I was one of the moral kids. I grew up moral, but there was still something incredibly wrong with my heart. And so I want you to see some of that, what's going on. So in James chapter 4, we will see what is at the root of our issues. However, we're in the context of the book of James, and at least in James chapter 1. What is James chapter 1 potentially about? What do you know about James chapter 1? By what the biggest thing you know about James chapter 1. You don't need to flip back there. You know this. Consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So, let's start with this. Trials facilitate responses in us. Just as, like when the spring comes, if it gets here in March, when the sun comes out, something will grow in my yard. Hopefully it'll be grass, not weeds. But when the heat comes on, there is something that comes out. Okay, so trials, if you can imagine this, trials are the heat, the sun, the light that comes on you, and you're going to respond somehow. You will, just like I did that night with my wife. Okay, so many times our fruit is really not the sweet, luscious fruit of love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness. It is the thorns and thistles of quarrels and conflicts, distress and anxiety. So the heat comes on, and what comes out that people see, fear consumes our thinking, unkindness comes off our tongue like what I was doing that night with my wife, ugliness permeates our actions. The question is why? Okay, why do you respond in the ways you do when things do not go your way? James 4, verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Now let's stop right there. A quarrel, that which I get into with my spouse or my children, with my speech or my actions. Okay, so my behavior, I get into conflicts. That's what I was getting into that night with my wife, accusing her of not providing sufficient meal for me because she didn't have bacon. I was about to get into a quarrel, and it was because of